Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. It is my final session of Tech Days, so it's all been downhill every session. So this will certainly be the worst of the set. So this session, I'm actually pretty excited. This session is all about building scalable infrastructure as a service solutions. The goal of this session is to kind of walk you through some of the capabilities we've got, renew your knowledge about some areas, and also perhaps challenge you in a few areas of how some of the systems work and sort of the best ways to think about building VM-based scalable solutions on Azure. I'll show you a bunch of demos, be able to walk you through some examples. I'm going to show you both VMs and containers on top of VMs to be able to show you both of these examples and sort of how that infrastructure can all play out. So with that, let me kind of charge forward. So building scalable solutions certainly has a big component of it being scale itself and how to scale out and manage that scale. What options do you have for being able to use some of the scaling solutions that we enable? But it also includes availability and agility as well. As I talked about in the keynote yesterday, agility, of course, being an important, perhaps one of the most important aspects of how you think through your application design. But of course, when you're looking at large scale-out solutions, availability is crucially important as well. And so I'm going to walk you through some of the capabilities in each one of these three areas. So starting with just scale at a high level, the key points with scale, there's a few aspects of scale that are interesting or important to remember. There's the scaling of VMs and sort of how you manage scaling of VMs as traffic increases, as usage increases, and that's really sort of a scale-out model as you continue to grow and increase the demands of your application. But there's also this new concept with containers that enable much faster scaling, much quicker agility to hit the scale points you need to using containers as your application scale point, right? So both of these are viable options. We've, of course, seen a lot of apps that scale at the VM level, and I'll show you a little bit about that and allow you to scale out whether the web front end or the data back end using sort of your scale out based on a VM count. But we're also seeing a growing amount using infrastructure to scale out with containers on top instead. And the main reason for that, of course, is the reaction time, is the agility you can get by doing it with a container level scale, and then infrastructure underneath can scale a little bit slower as needed. And then, of course, there's just global scale, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the capabilities to be able to get that global reach and that global coverage across the entire continent and the entire world, in fact. Availability. So availability is crucially important. As you're scaling, and in fact, perhaps many of the reasons why people like to scale, especially when you look at something like global scale, is to increase your availability. Certainly having multiple instances protects you against failures from those servers dying, and having multiple locations, multiple regions, can protect you from any sort of regional issues that may happen. And so obviously the protection across physical and network is very, very important. So taking advantage of some of the networking capabilities we have, but then also being able to take that and again use that from single one or two VMs, but also scale sets, multiple VMs, and being able to take advantage of that type of availability story. But then also being able to do that from a global perspective. So getting that global network availability and, again, taking advantage. This is such an American thing to do, to say global and then put a picture of the U.S., right? Super terrible. I apologize for that. I'm talking right now, and I'm realizing I'm totally insensitive to that. So anyway, at least I identified it now, but probably could have identified an hour ago and changed the slide. So anyway, global is what I meant to say. Picture says U.S., but just imagine that's the world. You get that one? All right. It's terrible. It's all right. I'm never going to be invited back. Anyway, so availability, it is really global. It is trying to get coverage across the world. Now, having said that, for a lot of the deployments that you may be doing or applications, there may be regional requirements. There may be expectations that say, gosh, you can't leave the EU. There may be expectations around that. And so global can also just mean two regions that are far enough apart that they're going to have a different and distinct failure models or perhaps protection against disasters and so on. We typically assume 200 or 300 miles is a good enough range, and all of our regions are at least that distance apart. And so that's sort of a good model to use. And then, of course, agility. And this, you know, we've talked a lot about throughout this conference. I spent a lot of time talking about it. But, you know, just to kind of touch upon it briefly, and it's not something I'm going to spend a huge amount of time on. Obviously, agile development, spinning up, spinning down quickly, very, very valuable to be able to get these large scalable solutions up and running. Containers, of course, offer a lot of potential to be able to get that agile development. And then, of course, things like the Azure Resource Manager, which I will show you a little bit, and being able to build sort of pre-canned, pre-constructed full application models for you to deploy, and it's a very repeatable process for you to be able to take advantage of that environment multiple times. And then, of course, the sizing story, having agile sizes, being able to choose and get the closest size that's going to meet your needs. All of this is going to be very important, especially if you are building massive scale-out solutions. Finding the right size is critically important to be able to optimize your costs and make sure that you're running the app in the best way possible, fastest way possible, for the least amount of money. All right, so let's actually zoom in a little bit and get a little bit deeper. So scale. So the main point with scale when it comes with infrastructure as a service is the VM scale set. This is a fairly recent addition to the platform. The idea here with VM scale sets is that we're taking the concept of a VM, or infrastructure as a service, and trying to simplify creation of multiple entities of this. It is borrowing from a lot of the ideas that we learned from cloud services originally, which was sort of the original PaaS platform that we had on Azure, where the idea was duplicate copies of the exact same thing over and over again. And so with scale sets, you're effectively doing auto-configuration, and you're handling that at scale. You're doing auto-scale capabilities, and you pick effectively the pre-configured size and the extensions that you want to run. It enables really easy updates at scale. And it has a simple portal integration, which I'll show you, and sort of a growing portal support that's going to make this easier and easier as the technology advances. And so with scale sets, just to give kind of background of what's the difference between this and virtual machines, with virtual machines today, you end up sort of treating each one of them as an individual entity, right? So you have one, let's say it's called Core EVM, and it's got pieces attached to it. Let's say you're attaching a NIC to it. You're also attaching some storage to it. Each one of these you care for. You're aware of their health. If they get sick, you nurse them back to health. You work on them. All right, it's sort of the classic infrastructure model that's existed for many years. And if you need two of them, you know, you have a second one, you, let's say, call that Mark. That's got its own NIC, it's got its own storage, and you treat each one of these very, very individually. In fact, many of you probably do name your virtual machines. I know I name mine. I don't name them Mark, though. They're all just Corey and then a number. But no, just kidding. And so, you know, each one of these you treat very, very individually. And this is for a lot of your classic services, solutions, applications. You know, if you're deploying a SharePoint farm, as an example, you would treat them this way. You've got three SQL servers or two SQL servers and one witness. You know, if one goes down, you typically don't just wipe it away and start over. You get on the box and you work on it and you figure out why it's not working and you fix it. And that's really the way you approach virtual machines. And VM scale sets is quite different. VM scale sets, the idea is there's so many of them that you can't approach it that way, right? You have to approach them effectively and sort of the concept that's typically discussed, pets versus cattle. You treat virtual machines as pets. You name them. You take care of them. Cattle, you end up treating them as a unit, right? There's six of them or there's 12 of them. You don't know each one individually. You don't care. If one gets sick, you just recreate it. And that's really the goals behind VM scale sets. It's really critical if you're going to manage at massive scale, being able to handle them in this way. And so what that means for sort of how you build them and how you treat them, when you're building your app, sort of the expectations of sort of a modern cloud app when you're looking at this type of scale is that you're basically treating each one of these scale sets as basically completely as a unit, right? It creates a simple manageability. It's not each individual one, the whole unit. You're worried about availability, you're worried about management, you're worried about patching, but again, as the full unit, not necessarily each individual item. And this is where scale sets can become really powerful. So obviously with scale sets, you can deploy a set of VMs and you treat them as a set. So it's very easy to scale out. It's very rapid. But then you can customize them. So with the template language or directly in the portal experience, you can go in and say, look, each one of these, when they start, I want to run this script. I want to run this executable. That customization is what gives them life. And so every time you're updating the OS underneath or every time you're restarting them, that same extension, that same executable can run, and that will customize them each time. Availability, I'll spend more time on later, but of course, when you're spreading these out, it will automatically spread them out across hardware, across racks, across network devices, and make sure that you're getting the highest availability you possibly can in your deployment. And again, with the elasticity that's possible and the autoscale that you can set up in an automated way, the entire thing is hopefully much lower cost for you to manage. And if your app is built in this way, you probably can use smaller VM sizes and scale out more aggressively and scale in more aggressively than perhaps big vertical beefy boxes, right? And so this is where, again, the difference between what you can do with scale sets versus what you would do with something like a SharePoint farm or a SQL server, where you're going to end up, if you need more space, you typically will scale up, you'll add memory, you'll go to a larger size. In this case, you'll add more instead. And that's kind of the idea of what skill sets can offer. And so as the way it's defined here in the resource manager, you know, when you saw my picture before, you as today, if you're creating a VM, you create a VM, you add a NIC, you add storage, each one of these are individual objects. You can manage them individually, and they all sit as part of an overall template. With scale sets, all of these are combined in the scale set, and they're all built as part of the scale set. So when you're scaling out the NIC, the storage is automatically generated for you, and that's critical to be able to manage these at scale. And so scalable NIC, scalable storage, and then the extensions to customize, all of these are done in a fully automated way. And so they're defined in your template with a really simple sort of model where you can say, here's what the NIC looks like, here's the ports I want open, and that's then defined for the unit. And then as it scales, they're automatically applied. In addition, you can, of course, say the instance count right in the template language, and it will spin them up accordingly. And so the instantiation of this template will take that instance count and change it as required. And then you can even do things like over-provision, which is the default. And so if you say I want 100, we'll provision 120 and give you the first 100 that come out to make sure that things are moving as fast as possible, and you end up not paying for those additional ones that got created. And so this enables really fast deployment, fast provisioning, and fast scaling. And that whole aspect of app deployment comes out of the extension model. And so the extension model, as part of the VM scale set, you can configure really whatever you want, whether it be Chef, whether it be Puppet, whether it be Salt, or you can just run executables. You can run a PowerShell script on Windows, a Bash script on Linux, and pull down whatever you need, right? And these extensions are really what make this a viable solution. So you install your app with these extensions, and as these things scale in and out, that's taken care of for you in an automated way. And so this custom script capability, or you can, of course, use these DevOps tooling to be able to get this benefit, and it'll deploy whatever you need to, whether it's doing updates, scale out, or OS updates. It will replace the image and run these scripts through over again. So let me actually show you a few examples of what this looks like. Did it work? Good. All right, let's go over here. All right, so what I'm going to do just to start off, because it's something that's actually recently changed and been updated quite a bit here, is actually the create experience. And this is just really easy to get going. I'm just going to search for VMSS or VM scale sets. You can search for any of those, and there it is. And so it's now, if for those who maybe have played with it before, it used to be split Windows versus Linux. Now you can go in and, of course, pick anything. And so you go in, of course, the basic settings for creating this. And so I'll say, you know, Cori scale. And I am going to say Linux this time around here. But I'm going to use a password, which is typically not advised, but instead of the SSH key, but it's just faster here. Okay, and let's put it in, let's see here, perfect. And I'll say Corey Scale here. And so it's the next page that's, I think, the most interesting. Okay? So let's hit OK. Okay, and so this next page is perhaps the most interesting part of the portal experience for scale sets. And it's there's twofold reason why it's interesting. One, you can immediately select the scale points that you want. See here. Immediately, select the scale points that you want. And so you'll be able to select exactly how many you want to start off with. And then you can also configure the auto scale directly here in the portal, which is nice because it allows you to get that configured and rolling right when you start it. And so here you can see I've got, you know, public IP address, and this will sit on top. And so this will enable me to have that IP access. And of course, it assigns me the domain name. And this is because those NICs and all of that configuration is built into it. And so here, let me just do Corey Scale and see if that should work there. And then the nice thing here, you know, I've selected Linux, and it gives me basically a set of the images, the best images for me to choose from here. So quite a few options. You know, let's use rel this time around. And like I said, for instance count, right, you can go anywhere from 2 to 100 and constantly increasing that number. In fact, I'll show you a 300-based scale set here in my demo. And so let's just say, you know, 50 here. And of course, you pick your sizes, and this is again, as you scale out, it's important you pick your right size because the cost can add up. And so we'll just keep it to the D1 V2. Okay. And then here's the cool stuff. All of this right here in the portal experience, in case you can't see that in the back, let me see if I zoom it in here. All of this built in right into the portal experience is the auto scale setting. So you can select the minimum number, the maximum number, and then at what point you're going to scale out based on CPU, and then at what point, at number of VMs you want to scale out by. And that's all the configuration you set right here. And so right here in the portal, right here as part of this initial setup, you can say, look, I want to turn on autoscale and get going, just assuming that that's probably something you're going to be doing. Okay, and I'll go ahead and hit go on this. And then the key thing here is just like all of these experiences that you can do in the portal, right here you can actually go in and say, this is cool, but I want to do more customization. I want to add an extension to this right now. So now let me learn how this template worked up until now. What I'll do is maybe I'll go add something to it right in Visual Studio. And so you can say, you know, start with this great example with autoscale turned on and all these configurations, and then perhaps pull it up in Visual Studio right here and be able to make those additional edits. Right here in the Visual Studio experience, and then push that back through the platform. So here you can see with Visual Studio built-in support for reading this JSON file, I can go in and say, cool, all my parameters, username, and so on. And then I can kind of scroll down. There's only one resource for obvious reasons. It's just the VM scale set. But you can kind of go in and take a little look and understand how all this is going to be used and deployed. So with that, let me actually go back and show you one that's sort of already deployed. So I have one deployed here, VMSS Core, and that's short for Corey. And this one is a 100-node one. It's actually standing in the off position right now. But to show you sort of what this looks like here in the portal, you can see sort of CPU usage. And then you can see the full count here. And what's cool and what we've recently added to the portal is I can go in here and take a look at instances. And so if I scroll down here and take a look at my actual instances deployed, I can start doing operations against these right in the portal. So if I want to go in and say, look, there's 100 of them. I want to start 10 of them. Let me start the first 10. I can go right here in the portal, click on them, and say, yep, make these guys go. And sort of up here, I can I have all these buttons to choose from. I can start them, I can reboot them, I can stop them, or deallocate them, and then I can even upgrade them, right? And so in this model, you can go in and say change the OS version to the next version, and then I can go hand select the ones I want to go update, maybe validate against them before running it across the entire set of virtual machines. And so the benefit of this, of course, is that you can do this really simply in the portal experience. But all of this is API-based. And so what I'm actually going to show you now is an experience that we've created that enables very simple views of your scale sets and then allows you to sort of take advantage of that API. So here is the VMSS core scenario that I was just showing you. It's all, as you can see, they're all red. They're all sitting in the off state. And so here, even with this experience, this is all sitting just on top of the public API, and so you can run all this yourself. I can go in and I can start them all directly from this experience, and you can see they're split up across, and I'll explain fault domains and update domains in a bit, but you can see for the key point fault domains, these are racks, and they're split up across that, and now you can see I hit start, and away they go, and so they've all started spinning up, and green means they're done spinning up, and yellow means they're still on the way, and this should refresh here about every 5 seconds. And so if I take another example here, and I go big VMSS, and this is not yet released, but this is supporting up to 300 now in a scale set. So this is running 300 virtual machines, and it's running CentOS, and they're all up and running and able to take traffic. And the other aspect here, I showed you that upgrade button. And so if you're managing this at massive scale, and you're sort of like, look, I need to go upgrade from 15 to 17. And so here, I right up here in the upper right, I'm basically changing the OS version, and I am going to just hit update model. And so again, this tool enables very, very easy, let's zoom this down here, very, very easy management of this experience. Let's see where my buttons are down here. Okay, so very simple. It's not necessarily the most polished experience, but so I've now updated the model. So now all of these instances are effectively behind in their model, but it hasn't rolled anything out yet. So the actual scale set model now says the OS we're using is 899.17.0. It's no longer .15.0, but the live instances aren't updated yet. But if you go, and this is again using the API, you can go in and say, look, I'm going to go update these instances to the latest model. It will wipe out the OS, replace the OS, and then run whatever the starting script you've got again. So very similar to sort of a rolling OS upgrade. And so if I change the batch size down here, and so we've written a little tool that says, great, take them 50 at a time, and I'll hit rolling upgrade on this. What you should start seeing is at increments of 50, the system starts shutting them down, right? And so by basically saying, great, bring them to the latest model, we shut them down, they go red, and then, of course, to the latest OS version, they'll turn yellow again and restart. And so the key thing here is, again, that extension model that's going to start your code up, and there you can see they've started shutting down, and they'll start going and updating, and you can see actually it's isolated to fault domain zero. And so leaving the other fault domains untouched so that those can continue to take traffic as the update's happening. And so very, very powerful solution. And what you'll start seeing is the ability to interact more with these types of changes. So you imagine a change like this. You can also imagine, let's say, a little bit of a warning coming into your app saying, hey, we want to shut this down and give you an upgrade. Do you want to do some action before I do that, right? And so this is the sort of interaction and overall scale-out experience that we are expecting to continue to support and grow as you start building these types of VM scale set solutions. And so this will make progress, and so now you can see they've all turned, all 50 have turned red, and they are now in the reboot process. While this is happening, let's actually see if the other one fully started. It's always a risk to go back to that. Hopefully it's all green. See if this is going to refresh for me. So those are all green, so that's all started. So in just a matter of moments, all of those Linux VMs have started up and are ready to receive traffic. And if I go back over here and take a look at the latest here, and these will actually start updating, and maybe I'll take a chance and come back later and see sort of how they're doing. Great. And so that 300 VM one, you can also, of course, see in the same portal experience that I was showing. The biggest risk here is, of course, this is still not yet released, this size. And so the portal may not be as responsive when it comes to 300 instances just yet. We've got some work still to do. But let's see if I can get it. Well, you know what? I'll come back to it. But The key value add is, of course, that same sort of update of the model, the same sort of being able to manage the model and be able to make the tweaks right in the portal experience. It will be there for all of these capabilities as you scale more and more. And that is the idea behind VM Scale Sets. We believe this is basically the cornerstone of a lot of the scaling applications that are going to be required over time. Now, as I've already mentioned and talked a little bit about, containers sitting on top of this is going to become very, very critical as well. And so, if you're obviously dealing with core infrastructure and you're dealing with those VMs, this is a VM Scale Set standalone is a great model for you. But if you also want to build containers and deploy them on top, obviously you can deploy containers directly on VMs. That's fine. There's no issue. But the sitting on top of that with an orchestration layer makes it much, much simpler to manage because it will find the right home across the virtual machines to place those instances based upon the usage of that underlying infrastructure. And so as I've talked a little bit about, the container service supports DCOS and Swarm natively. I'm going to actually show you quite a bit more on DCOS and how you can use that. And as mentioned, of course, deployment packaging on top and then the application sitting inside that. And so this enables that really, really fast and agile scaling. And so as I talked a little bit about sort of the what containers actually are is the OS is virtualized versus just the hardware virtualized, and that, of course, creates much faster startup time and much more density that you can get from these VMs, from these containers than VMs. And then Windows actually has two versions that are supported natively in that. One is Windows Server containers, and one is Hyper-V containers. And the big distinction here is Windows Server containers are just like the Linux container side. They take the app, and they effectively share this underlying OS layer, right? And so they all pull from that same Windows Server underlying OS, and they basically get the most density you can possibly get. For Hyper-V containers, on the other hand, while they don't carry the OS with the container, once they deploy, they basically create an isolated version of the OS, right? And so while it's still the app only and the container model and all of that is the same, once deployed, at deploy time, it creates its own isolated version of the OS that's then managed as part of a Hyper-V instance. And so what that means, it gives you a little bit less density than you'd get from the one at the top, but it gives you isolation between those containers in a similar way that virtual machines does and offers a higher level of security in that regard because you're not sharing that underlying OS at all. So again, it's closer to a virtual machine when it comes to security, but then closer to a container when it comes to deployment modeling. And this, of course, just recently went live with Server 2016 GA. And so when you put all these containers together and drop them onto these services, the key thing that the Azure Container Service offers is on that infrastructure, you can now manage the deployment of containers across a set of nodes and be able to quickly update your apps, scale your apps, downscale your apps, and so on. And so the best way to show this is to show it via a demo. So let me kind of jump in here and show you what DCOS can do. So I've got DCOS deployed. This is deployed as part of the container service running in my account. And what you can see right away, this is sort of the high-level management experience. And so right away, you can see it's telling me what my CPU utilization is, what my memory utilization is, how many failures I've seen as part of tasks that are deployed. It also can tell me how many nodes are deployed underneath this. So I've got 6 connected nodes. So that's how many virtual machines are sitting underneath this, managing this, right? And so auto-scaling can work in conjunction with that underlying VM scale set. So these 6 nodes are a 6-node VM scale set, what I just showed you. But now this is layering on top of it this experience to deploy and manage containers. And so there's 11 tasks that are currently running, and I'll dig into those in a minute. And so the services that are running, I can deploy all sorts of services and solutions. Right now, Marathon's the primary one I've got. And Marathon is an open source manager of containers. And so this is sort of the, in some regard, sort of the brain of container management as part of the DCOS container service deployment. It is the guy that's figuring out where to put things and how to put things down. If I look at my node story, it tells me all the nodes that are healthy, and so these are my nodes that are running in Azure, their breakdown of CPU, memory, and all of their usage patterns, and so on. And then here's the cool thing about DCOS, just worth kind of pointing to, is this universe support. And so this is a really fun way to just start playing with things in DCOS. If you deploy ACS in Azure and use DCOS, you can immediately start dropping things down. You can install these packages and run, right? So you can just install a Cassandra package, a Jenkins package, a DataStax solution. There is Marathon. That's the one that's running that does actual just raw container deployments. But then all of these enable really, really fast startup of things. If you're a big Spark user, you can get this down and get rolling really, really quick. The latest supported package available right here. And so let me go back here to the services, click on Marathon, and actually show you sort of what this service looks like. And this is sort of the UX to be able to manage the container deployments themselves. And so what I've done, so you can see the UX here, I've actually created a nice little website that shows that experience while also showing this queue length. And so here's the app that we built to kind of show you the example of what's possible. This app is a simulation app, and the idea of the simulation app is attempting to show you if there's a bunch of load coming in to your service, let's say it's an ordering service, and you've got people coming in and doing action against it, you can immediately scale to respond to that load, right? And that scaling, that work is happening across the analyzer. And so the analyzer here at the top, there's not a lot of load right now. It's at 1. It can grow and grow and grow and grow to take all of that traffic coming in. And the person who's doing that, the decision about how to grow is the autoscaler. And then the REST query is the one that's actually taking the calls between them. And then batch, this guy, is just filling in the extra space, doing some off-processing that you may want to have happen. And so producer is my mechanism to be able to show a simulated amount of work coming through. So if I've got people that are ordering things. So if I hit scale here and hit 2. And so what happens now is that scale comes up, and you can see immediately my queue length is shooting into the sky. I'm looking at the REST query, not where I want to look. So you can see that immediately shooting into the sky, and so suddenly the system's like, whoa, I need to respond to that work. You see upper 5 of 11, so we're now spinning up containers almost immediately. Right, and so responding to this demand, this additional work within seconds, less than seconds, we're spinning up containers. We've got 5 up and running. We've got 11 that are pending, and we're basically pulling back the batch guys and saying, no, we need this work to come back. And so as that spins up, you'll end up seeing the queue length go way back down as soon as these containers respond and react almost immediately. And so you can see sort of that immediate reaction time of the containers as things sort of spin up and then spin back down. All right, with that, let me actually go back here to the slides. All right. And so you can see with the containers that these things are scaling so much faster than you normally would be able to scale with VMs. And that is really a key factor as you build your apps and solutions. You can take advantage of this scaling infrastructure, but then your app on top, maybe built in containers, can start reacting much, much quicker with something like the container service. And Azure Batch sitting again on top of VM scale sets, a similar concept that you can use job-based computation to scale on top of that infrastructure to be able to take advantage of that really fast scale, but at a smaller granular point than you would a full VM, right? And so this enables you to do it based on a job and spread out across a set of virtual machines to be able to really take advantage of that fast response time and not have to deal with as much of the infrastructure underneath. And that's really where Azure Batch becomes really powerful, very focused on jobs and sort of high-performance computing workloads that you may have. Okay. So the last kind of point, specifically around scale, PaaS on IaaS, I talked a little bit about this yesterday. The PaaS on IaaS, the really valuable thing about this is you can take this VM scale set, the concept I showed you, very easy to update, very easy to maintain, and you can start putting other services on top. Obviously, our services like Service Fabric sit on top of this, but you can also put other solutions. And the nice thing here, if you do this model, These are fully open source solutions typically. They can run on multiple clouds and environments, and you never feel locked in to any environment you're in. And hopefully you're just choosing Azure because it's the best and easiest to use versus the sense that you have to, right? And so the nice thing about this, the PaaS platforms, it can run on Azure, it can run on-prem, it can run on AWS, it's a smaller cloud, and then it can run on even smaller. And then all the others fit into that last one. So, the nice thing is you can, of course, run these on these multiple environments and enables you to deploy multiple places. So, and again, I showed this a little bit earlier this week. We've seen a lot of growth and excitement. Cloud Foundry and specifically Pivotal's seen huge growth on the platform. OpenShift with Red Hat's been fantastic. Kubernetes as well, partnership with Google on that. And then, of course, Jlastic and Apprenda, they've been on for a while. And we've seen a lot of interest there too. So again, all of these open solutions that you can deploy and launch. All right. So once you've got that scale understood, once you've got that, great, that's how I scale out. Now, how the heck am I going to keep this thing up and running? And I hinted at it a little bit already with the VM scale sets crossing multiple fault domains. But the key thing with this is this concept of an availability set. And the fault domain concept is really all around the racks of our environments. And so when we have basically one rack here and another rack here, the idea is we want to spread them out across them. And the main reason for this, the racks are both individual servers, they're individual power units, they're individual network switches as well. And so a failure in a rack can be, any of these things can fail. They're all single instance opportunities to fail. They don't fail that often, right? We do make sure that we try and keep them up and running as much as possible. But when they do fail, you want to make sure your app stays up. And this is how we protect you with fault domains. Fault domains effectively say a separation between power, network, and server. And as these instances are running, you saw the 301 split us across five different fault domains. And as it was updating, it updated only FD0 and so on. Those are guaranteed to be split in this way across five different racks. And that gives you that high availability guarantee for any sort of failure that may be happening. Now add on top of that networking, something like a load balancer, where now you need your traffic to be able to spread across both of them. And so the way these networking solutions are tiered is the load balancer that we offer directly in Azure is geared towards TCP. It's basically an IP-based load balancer. So you can do TCP or UDP. It is a relatively simple five-tuple or three-tuple model, right? And so what that means is that it's not really sticky, and you can configure it with three-tuple to sort of simulate sticky, but it is still simulated in that it's basically the source IP that's being used. So five-tuple, that means source IP, source port, destination IP, destination port, and transport. And so basically your TCP, UDP, and then the destination is going to be the same, so it's based on your source that changes. And three-tuple takes the port out because a lot of browsers actually will change the port pretty randomly. And so you can set this up internally, externally, and of course VMs or scale sets. And so this is the core infrastructure that we offer for load balancing. We also offer an application gateway. And this is an important distinction point. Application gateways allow you to do that similar load balancing, but it's at layer 7. So it's not at the IP layer, it's at the app layer. And with this, you can now do it, whether it be HTTP balancing, you can do cookie-based, spelled wrong, cook-based. You can do cookie-based affinity models. You can do SSL offload with this. And you can even do URL-based routing. And so this, as you imagine expanding out to hundreds or thousands of these VM scale sets, saying, hey, all of my images go to these 10, all of my email go to these 20, these sorts of breakdowns are possible with the application gateway. And then on top of that, you've got your traffic manager. And this is doing global availability. So this is DNS-based. So you've got IP-based, you've got application layer, and then you've got DNS. And this offers global availability to get that, U.S. global, to get that app to be able to respond to failures across the world. And of course, it can distribute traffic this way as well. And let me actually just show you quickly what this one looks like. And so what I've got here set up, let's see. So I've got here set up already is I basically got a load balancer that I've already configured. Let me go here. And so this load balancer is already configured, it's running across two instances. And so I've got it deployed, and if I take a look at the backend pools here, you can see this load balancer is running. You can see a couple of instances running with private IP addresses. And so if I look here, this says East1. If I hit F, if I reload it, let's see, a few times you saw it went to East2. Hopefully you saw it there, went to East2. So this is balancing traffic between them. Again, this is just an IP-based solution. Now, if any one of these VMs went down, it would detect it with a probe that I've already set up, and within 30 seconds, maybe 15 seconds, depending on sort of where it catches the failure, it will then shift all traffic to the other one, right? So this responds to both failure, but also distributes your traffic to the instances that you want it to distribute. And so you can see here what I've got at the top here. This is build East LB, okay? And what now I've also done is I built a traffic manager that sits on top of that. And so if I click into this traffic manager, If I click into this traffic manager, so let me zoom out back here. And so this is already deployed. And so this traffic manager is sitting on top of two load balancers. And so this is the way sort of the hierarchy works. I've basically got this East LB and this West IP. And so this LB here, this is sitting on top of that load balancer that I was just showing you. And so if I actually hit F5 on this, you can see it's doing the same sort of balancing on that load balancer. And what I've done is I've sort of faked it out a little bit. I've added this weight here to show you all of it's going to go to the East load balancer right now. But if you imagine that I actually failed this over, and so let's actually swap the weight. Let's say the East failed. It just completely went down. Okay, and so that then switches there, and then I'm going to switch the West. And obviously this would happen based on probing and so on. The DNS just changed, but I'm going to actually try and force it to happen a little bit faster for the sake of this demo. Okay, and so that's then been updated. Oops, it's over here. And so now if I hit F5, let's see. Sometimes it takes the DNS cache to, let's see if I can flush the DNS cache here. Let's come back. Let's try and load it in another browser. And so what this is doing is, once that's detected that the failure has happened and the traffic needs to be resent, it will redirect to the other side of the world and show another fun baby picture of me. So, that's been set up just to show you how powerful this can be. And so, you can see here, and I bet this now works here because I've done that with the, or I guess Chrome did that, kept there. So, you can see sort of as you change that and as you get that failure working, that layering of the load balancer with the traffic manager sitting on top gives you that capability. And so the last thing, you've got scale now, you've got availability, you've got network availability, and you've got that all configured and ready to roll. You can put containers sitting right on top of that. But then comes the agility point, and I've talked a ton about agility throughout the entire conference, but the last part about agility that I haven't talked about yet is the resource manager. And so all these things that I just walked through, load balancer, the traffic manager, the VMs that are deployed, the container service, all of them can be dropped into a resource, into an Azure Resource Manager template that allows you to redo things multiple times, allows you to group all these resources, define things like extensions, and be able to redeploy multiple times. I already showed it to you in that Visual Studio deployment that enables you to effectively learn and download these things, but you can also do things like custom tagging on these, so once they're deployed, you can tag them in the bill, you can configure policies on these, and it enables, of course, the role-based access control all surrounding this. And the nice thing about this, of course, is that this is the same template model that will be available as part of Azure Stack. So both Azure and Azure Stack will support those same templates, and so the automation and the tooling will all work the same in both. And so just very, very briefly, I wanted to show you sort of what that looks like. And so what's nice about this is if you go right into, let's see here, If you go right into resources and templates, you can find a huge repository of these templates to go learn from and experiment with and play with. And so if you look here, there's 402 right now. These are pulling straight from GitHub. So if I actually look here, installing MongoDB on CentOS with custom script extension. And so this, you can go and take a look at what this looks like in GitHub. And so this shows you this template. It shows you how to deploy an extension on Linux. And you can go in here and you can play with it directly. It shows you all the parameters that are in here. And so you can learn a lot. You can add your own here. So here, this is creating a NIC. This is deploying the virtual machine itself and should have the extension down here. So here's the extension. And again, installing Mongo is the extension. You can see here's the bash script that it executes after pulling it down from this location, right? And so this makes it really easy to get going here. And of course, all of that, if you went back and hit deploy in Azure, it will pull that up straight into the Azure experience, set up the environment for me, and create a nice UX around this experience to be able to deploy this directly into my environment and launch that template with those parameters already pre-cooked. So again, enables a great community to go build this out. And again, the agility is just really unparalleled. You can now create these massive application experiences, drop them down into GitHub, learn from them, and you effectively have this final experience right here available to deploy as it loads the portal and brings that all in. And so, as I mentioned and started here, the goal here as you're deploying these apps is, oh, and there, so you have this full experience here and the settings all configured with that template experience. And so as I started, the ability to deploy massive scale applications with VM scale sets or with containers, the ability to take them and get a high availability story across load balancers using fault domains to be able to manage potential failures in the system, and then using the resource manager to recreate those things multiple times with that high level agility, the combination of these three should help you build much more scalable and much more simple solutions on the Azure environment. Thank you guys so much, and hopefully you enjoy the rest of your time at Tech Days.